A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Yisrael of Cherry Hill. Shabbos Tzadi Gimel, Shabbos 93a, pagination page 185. The Gemara, on approximately the 8th or 9th line over here, quotes a pasuk, V'im nefesh achas techeta, when a single person shall do a sin, bishkaga, by mistake, me'am ha'oretz, from the people of the land. Ba'asosa, when he does it. So the Gemara infers that a single person has to do the Avera, but if the Avera was done by multiple people together, in a way that no one person could have done it, meaning, for example, they're both carrying this basket that could have been carried by one person, but it wasn't. And they're carrying it together. So then there would not be a violation requiring the atonement carbon. Now, there's a lot of complexity. I'm kind of skirting over a lot of it to get to a certain overview called misayeya. Misayeya means that the person has an assistant. One person is holding the basket in a way that he could have easily carried the entire thing. And the other person, no one's interested in him, but he's sticking his 2 cents in, and he's trying to help. You find this sometimes in a humorous application by children. You're carrying the sukkah boards, and there's a kid who wants to help. And the kid is simply, he's too young to carry this unwieldy board, but he wants to help. A big, long table, 7-foot table. Kid wants to help. So they're helping, but they're not helping. Actually, they're making it harder in some cases, because they're kind of pulling it down, and you have to manage to just keep going. What is the status of a person who assists but is not really necessary for the assisting process? Excuse me. In the middle of the page, on the middle of the line, you'll see a 2 dots. Amar mar ze yachol v'ze eino yachol. When you have a person who's able and a second person who's not able, and the not able person is contributing, but the able person could have done it on his own. Divrei HaKol Chayiv. Everybody agrees, he's in violation. He's Chayiv. Ask the Gemara, Hay minayim Chayiv, who are you referring to? Are you referring to the person who could do it on his own, or the person who's making a contribution and is piggybacking so that now he's also carrying the table, even though he could never carry the table on his own? Amar Rav Chista, Rav Chista explained, Zeshayachol, the person who's able, that's the person who's in violation. De'izeshayachol, because if you want to talk about the person who was not able to carry the object, Micah Ovid, what's he doing? What a powerful argument. You're not doing anything. The other person is able to carry it on his own. You're not doing anything. Amale Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna said, Tekamisayeya Bahadei. Why aren't you concerned that he is the assistant? Misayeya, he's an assistant. He's helping out. Even though he can't do it on his own, but he's helping out. Amale, and he told him a fundamental point. Misayeya Ein Bo Mamash. A person who assists has nothing of essence that he has contributed. He's not a contributor. If you have 2 people and they couldn't have done it, each one on his own, that's something we should discuss. You're trying to block a passageway from an animal escaping and you need both of them to stand there. So we'll discuss that. But over here, one person is doing, the other person is not really doing. The fact that he's making motions in order to contribute and emotionally he's being supportive, he's partially carrying the object, that's not enough to put him in violation. This statement, Misayeya Ein Bo Mamish, gives us a window to many, many topics in halacha, many of them related to Shabbos, even those not related to Shabbos. I'm going to just try to illustrate a few, not spending time to be absolutely definitive on any of them, but to appreciate how far-reaching this concept could be, and we have to think and research to what extent it should be applied. So firstly, a person who comes to a barber and tells him to cut his hair in a way that violates the mitzvah of peyus. Don't leave the sideburns. Cut everything even. Who's doing the violation? So on the one hand, you say it's the barber who's doing the violation, and he's not allowed to do it, even if the person comes to him and tells him to do it. You have a Jewish barber, he's not allowed to do that. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, the fact is that the person who's sitting in the barber chair, the nikaf, also is subject to a violation. Now, what did he do? He leaned his head, perhaps. He positioned himself. What status does he have that we discuss him as a violation as well? That's off the topic of Shabbos. Back to the topic of Shabbos. Person has a horrendous toothache, and the dentist takes a glance at it and says it needs to be pulled. Are you allowed to pull it on Shabbos? Of course, no. What's the violation? Well, certainly there's a violation of gozes, of detaching something from the human body. Just like shearing a sheep on Shabbos. Okay. What happens if you take a non-Jew in the case of enormous pain? And very often you're allowed to employ a non-Jew in the case of significant pain, health-related pain. So now we want to know, can the non-Jew pull the tooth? Well, you have a case of misayeya. You're helping. How are you helping? By opening your mouth. Do we say misayeya in bo mamish? Can we say, well, helping, but you're not doing anything. What am I doing? I'm not doing anything. Does that argument work? Another case, eye drops on Shabbos. So eye drops would be the violation of refuah b'Shabbos, of health needs on Shabbos. Let's assume that we have to deal with the question whether it's an overriding health need. Obviously not life-threatening, because that you'd be allowed to do. But so life-threatening, so health-oriented that you're in significant pain, versus what about if I'm just in minor discomfort? You're going to do the eye drops using a non-Jew, let's say. What status does it have? You're going to position your head so that it can go in. You're going to flutter your eye so that it gets absorbed. But he's doing the drops. Do we say misayeya, ein bo mamish, yesh bo mamish? What exactly is your status of misayeya? Another case. A woman forgets to cut her nails before going to mikveh on Friday night. It's now Friday night. She wants to go to mikveh. She notices she forgot to cut her nails. Is there a way to get those nails cut so that she can go to mikveh? So to be fair, jumping to a conclusion, is that very often, if the nails are not excessively long, we will tell her to simply clean the nails well with soap and water without significant rubbing or detaching anything. And based on that cleanliness, very often, if it's not excessively long, we'll simply tell her that's the best you do when you go to mikveh. But let's say we wanted to deal with this cutting the nails issue. Is there a way to do it? So going to mikveh, definitely we could argue, is a mitzvah, or shasat chak, or whatever we want to call it. She needs to go to mikveh. What are you allowed to do for a shasat chak? You're allowed to do a shvus de shvus, b'makom mitzvah, a rabbinic on a rabbinic. So one rabbinic is to get a non-Jew to do it, and the second thing would somehow to enable you to get a second d'rabbanon. Perhaps you can do it in an unusual way. So there is, in Jewish source material, the suggestion that perhaps the non-Jewish woman should bite the nails off. There's such a suggestion. In practical, you have two problems. Number one, to ask a non-Jew to do this in our culture, it's not happening. Secondly, she'll probably leave the nails more messy than they were to begin with. It's not much of a solution. There's another suggestion out there that perhaps cutting nails by definition is a malacha she'en tzricha legufa, an act which is not needed for its own essential purpose. Because you're not shearing the wool because you want the wool. You're cutting off the nails because you want the nails. You're cutting off the nails because you don't want the nails to be here. That's an opposite type of benefit, and perhaps that alone downgrades it to a derabbanon. And if it did, right, the case where, God forbid, a person is dealing with a dead body and he wants to move the dead body from one house to another house, he wants to get it out of this house, he's not carrying for the purpose of carrying because he wants it somewhere, he's carrying because it wants it out of here. So it's opposite type use. So perhaps a non-Jew doing it for a non-purposeful use in the case of a mitzvah might work. Again, in practical, I think we're going to veer faster to cleaning the nails properly if they're not excessively long. But the question, and the reason I brought it up, is even if you argue all your arguments to get the non-Jew to cut the nails, but you're holding your hand in position, is that misayeya? Is that assisting in the malacha? And one of the distinctions that's made, again, just to observe how this is handled, is that perhaps there's a difference between a person's mouth that's not normally open, and you got to open the mouth, versus perhaps an eye or nails that are essentially available, perhaps. But just to overview, this is the concept, the introduction to a great and massive sugya called Misayeya, assisting, but not in an essential way. Yashar koach, have a great day.